Folks, we bid you welcome in the Savior's name on this Resurrection Day to the house of God. We're here to worship the Lord. We're here to rejoice in a Savior that was crucified for our sins and one who rose again victoriously over death on the third day. Lots of good singing as we come to our opening hymn. Just in a moment, that was the view out through my back window this morning. Just reminded me early this morning, He is risen. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say hallelujah. And let there be that song of praise, that shout of hallelujah in our hearts today as we worship the living Savior.
Thank you.
seated. We always read a psalm on the Lord's Day, and the next psalm that we come to is Psalm 15. Let's hear the word of God before we pray. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbour, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbour, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoureth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Let's bow together as we seek the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we still our hearts in the presence of God on this, the Lord's Day, the Resurrection Day. This day is a perpetual reminder that Jesus Christ, who was crucified upon the cross of Calvary, rose again victoriously. And when the women went early that morning to the sepulchre where Jesus was laid, they found that the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty, for Jesus was alive and alive forevermore. And Lord, we rejoice this Easter weekend in a Savior crucified upon the cross of Calvary for our sins, and a Savior that was laid in the tomb, and a Savior who rose again victoriously. And Lord, we thank you that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Lord, this is the rejoicing of our heart, and we pray as these things are brought to our mind, especially today, we think of the choir as they come to participate again, and this peace that they've long practiced for, that it will be a real blessing to us as it was on Thursday night. And as we sit in the house of God today, make this a memorable day. Let the Lord come. Let the Lord abide with us. Speak to our hearts. What a tragedy to come to a place like this on the Lord's Day, any Lord's Day, but particularly this weekend, and to leave the same way, without hearing from God and unmoved in our hearts. Lord, may it not be so. We pray that the Holy Spirit will abide with us, that he will brood over this gathering, that he will deal with our hearts and draw us out after the living Savior. And as we go home, may we do so rejoicing in Jesus Christ, our living Lord. So we commit our way to thee now, and we commit this congregation into your care with all its needs. And Lord, you know the many needs and the many burdens that we carry. Jesus knows all about them. And praise God, he'll guide until the day is done. We can say there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. Hear and answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Very warm word of welcome to the congregation, to you that are normally with us, and to visitors that are here. And we have visitors, and we welcome you from various parts. I hear some from Portadown. I always like to mention the Portadown people, because that's where I was from, and it's a joy to have each and every one here. We also welcome two little babies for the very first time, for Jude, I think is the first time in the house of God, and for Heidi, her first time also being here, just born last Wednesday, and it's always a joy to have the children that are brought into our family. We also have a couple of visitors from Ukraine that are not normally with us, and I met them as they came in this morning, so I couldn't speak to them, and they couldn't speak to me for obvious reasons, but we want to welcome them, and maybe you could tell them they're sitting behind you that they're welcome. If you want to stand up, you're here for the very first time, welcome in the Savior's name. Okay. Next week, on the 16th of April, it'll be the day that marks the arrival of the first group that came from Ukraine to be with us. So it's almost a year that our brethren and sisters have dwelled among us in Ballymoney, and it's so good to have them also in the house of the Lord today. The Easter Gospel service is at 7, and it's preceded by the time of prayer. And just to whet your appetite a little bit, the choir will come back tonight, and they'll be singing about half of what you hear this morning. One of them to do that, they've put so much work into this piece. To hear it on Thursday night and this morning, it's not enough. So we're going to hear a little bit more tonight. And then I want to speak on the word Rabboni. When Mary came to the tomb and Christ wasn't there, her heart was sad. Where is he? Where have they put him? Tell me where he's been laid. Just want to see even the body, the dead body of Christ. And you remember she mistook Christ for the gardener. And Jesus just said her name, Mary. And she said, Rabboni. And we're going to look at the significance of that word that Mary used that morning. The first person to see the living Christ. Supper will be served, and ladies, you're asked to help us out with that. Very quickly, the Easter Convention, Monday the 7th, or Monday the 10th at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night, it's the convention rally. Our moderator will preach. It's the last meeting. Go to it if you can. Wednesday night is a session meeting at 8 o'clock. Thursday night is also a special meeting. This has been booked for a long time, and it is a deputation meeting on our missionary night at 8 o'clock, Crown College, and Pastor Derek Morland will be here. He'll be speaking, and the choir will be singing, so we look forward to that. It's a special treat for us. Friday night's a big event. It's Let the Bible Speak. It's the 50th anniversary at 8 o'clock. The Reverend John Greer is the preacher, and the Hebron choir will sing, and supper will also be served. So that's for everybody. All our churches are invited on Friday night, and that's the invitation that has been going out. Ladies, can you help us again with 3/4 of a loaf of sandwiches and 1.5 dozen buns? Saturday morning is the open air in the center of our town at 11 o'clock. Next Lord's Day begins with the prayer meeting at 8. Sunday school is at 10:30. Bible class at 11:15. Mervyn will come to the man of Calvary related. And then our annual Bible conference will begin. The worship service at 12, the gospel meeting at 7. Dr. Castles will be here to preach at both, and then, of course, the following week. And that's just so our friends can understand what's happening. He's preaching on the subject, the old rugged cross, the importance of the cross in the life of the believer. And that will be from next week, the 16th, through to the Friday night, the 21st. Each night through the week is 8 o'clock. And if you can share this on social media and invite people to come, we'd appreciate that. 100 days after lockdown, the new book has arrived. All the proceeds will go to help educate poor children in Pakistan. And we have copies at the door. If you'd like a copy of that, it's just £10. That money in its entirety will go to this ministry in Pakistan to help these children hear the gospel and get an education. Can I congratulate Andrew and Rebecca and their family on the birth of their baby girl, Heidi Eve? And it's good to have the whole family in the house of God today, and we rejoice with them in Jesus' name. We also congratulate Ben and Rebecca on their engagement. That happened this week, so there's a lot happening, as we said, on Thursday night. And we trust that the Lord will bless this young people as they plan for their future. Continue, please, to remember the sick before the throne of grace in prayer. We're thinking particularly of Joan, who's still in hospital. She's been in hospital now for a week and a half. Pray for her recovery and the others that need the touch of the Lord. I had the privilege of preaching this morning at 7 o'clock in Pakistan. I got there and got back again for the service, but we did it by the phone, and we were preaching at the Carmichael School to the children and the adults that had gathered. These are books that we've now got boxed up for Kenya, getting them ready the other day for Kenya. They're being shipped out there. And there's a team that went to Uganda on Friday night, or Friday morning rather. They arrived later on that day. And you pray for them as they go and help Noring there in the work. Continue to remember Ukraine at the throne of grace and prayer. We now bring in our tithes and offerings for the work of God as we sing another great hymn to do with the resurrection. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Thank you. paper says as we sing. Again, a sincere thanks to the Hebron Choir for their commitment and their hard work over these weeks. To Stephen in his role of narrator, thank you, Stephen, in the Lord's name. For Clifford and Jonathan Ray for their work on the sound, and for Paul for his camera work. Diane, again, thank you for the flowers and for help with the folders, and anyone else that helped in any way for the preparation of Thursday night and today. Very particularly, we thank Sylvia and Diane. We know the hard work that goes on behind the scenes and then every night of the practice. And very, very sincerely to both of them, Diane, our pianist, and Sylvia, our choir mistress, on behalf of the congregation, we thank you in the Lord's great name for what you've done. And I know the choir thanks you and they appreciate that. Just on behalf of our church committee and congregation, they're just a small token to make to you at this stage. And I'm going to ask two of our Ukrainian girls who are very faithful with us at the prayer meeting on a Thursday night, for Anastasia and Anita, just to make a small presentation. So if both of you would just go up to the front there in the middle, Diane, if you would like to walk there, and Sylvia, just in the middle, and then everybody can see you. I know you would enjoy the moment. So endure the moment. But thank you in the Lord's great name.
Thank you.
And that wasn't to unsettle you before what you do now, but the title of this cantata by Harold de Coe speaks for itself. To put it in Christ's words, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And may we be brought to the sufferings of the cross and to see our risen Lord and Savior. The Bible records these events. History substantiates it, and all those who have experienced the reality of his saving grace declare it. Jesus lives. Thank you, choir, and we look forward to your ministry now.
Where the Lord lay. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Who made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Jesus was his name.
for God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. But all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. And Jesus said, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel.
Show our grief failed in one day, and life.
reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus answered, Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus with his disciples unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto them, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And again the second time prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done.
Great plan in full accord.
Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they laid him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And again, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They say, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And after they had mocked him, they laid him away to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, and there they crucified him.
Stood a rugged hill.
see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. When even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. End of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay.
The morning, morning.
the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Sincere thank you to the choir and for singing, bringing us to Christ. I really appreciate that. John chapter 20 and verse 19 through to verse 25. Just keep that passage before you. Stephen read part of it, so I don't need to read the passage, but this is the passage of scripture that we want to look at just for a short time, just a short message at the end of this service. John 20, verse 19 through to 25. It's the appearance of Jesus that evening of the first day to his disciples. So, Hebron Choir, thank you again in the Lord's great name. The cantata has presented to us the great theme of Easter, which is the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. And we have rejoiced in these truths as we've listened to the presentation, and our souls have been truly blessed. We have seen the one whom our souls love. The spouse in Solomon's song couldn't find her beloved, and when she couldn't find him, she went out to search for the one that she loved so dearly. And she didn't stop until she found him. And when she did, she declared, I have found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. And I think that we feel a little bit like that as we've come to this service and we've listened to the choir as they have sung today. We have found Christ, the one that we love, and the choir has led us to him, our blessed and our dear Saviour, that we love with all of our hearts. On Thursday night, I dwelt on the crucifixion of Christ. I took the words of Paul in his great declaration in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, when he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And we gloried in the cross for a little time. We thought about the sufferings of Christ, the sin-bearing of Christ, and the separation of Christ. There is no story like the story of the cross where Jesus bled and died. It's the greatest story that can ever be told. The infinite and the eternal Son of the Father became human flesh for the great purpose to go to the brow of Golgotha to die for us, the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God. And we glory in the fact that Jesus paid it all. He stood in our stead. He bore our punishment. He took the infinite wrath of a holy God against sin, and he made that wrath his own. So God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. At this noon service, I want to come to the other great doctrine of the Easter celebration, and that is the glorious resurrection of Christ from the dead. We proclaim a living Savior. Christianity is founded upon an empty tomb. He is not here, is the message of today. He's not in the tomb any longer, and he's not on the cross. The Lord's Day, this first day of the week, is a perpetual reminder of a risen Christ. It's the day of resurrection. As the day was beginning to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other women, they came to the sepulchre with a few other women, only to discover that the stone had been rolled away. The stone had been taken away, not to let Jesus out, but to allow the women and others to see in, to see an empty tomb. And the angel declared to the women, I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And on that first Lord's Day, there were five distinct appearances of Christ to his people. Now, over the course of 40 days, there are 11 that are recorded in the scriptures. Nearly half of them took place on the first day. First of all, to Mary Magdalene. We're going to look at that tonight. Then secondly, to the women, the other women who had come to the tomb. And then thirdly, to Simon Peter, when Peter was by himself. Fourthly, the two on the road to Emmaus. We were thinking about them this morning in the early time of prayer. And then the fifth appearance in the evening of that first Lord's Day to all the disciples except Thomas. He wasn't there. He wasn't where he should have been. And he missed out in the blessing for a whole week. And of course, Judas wasn't there. He had already taken his own life, having betrayed the Son of God. I want to bring you just for a few minutes to the evening resurrection, when all the disciples were gathered together behind closed doors. They had met in secret because of fear. In this fearful, uncertain, worrying time, Jesus comes. And the account that we have in these verses before us, from verse 19 to 25, is a wonderful account of the resurrection. Then came Jesus. It's a wonderful phrase. In this time of fear, in this time of uncertainty, when these disciples hardly knew what to do, Jesus came, as he still comes to his people today. in such circumstances. He came where the disciples were assembled. They were gathered together, as we are gathered together today, and Jesus comes to where his people are assembled. Yes, we can worship God. We can find the presence of God at home, but particularly where we are assembled at his command. That's where Jesus meets his people. And he stood in the midst, we're told, which is his rightful place in your life and in mine. In this church, we want Christ to be central. We want him to be in the midst of this gathering. And he says to them, "Peace be unto you," twice over. Wasn't a word of condemnation. Peter, why did you deny me? Disciples, why did you forsake me? Why did you all run away in my darkest hour and leave me? No, it was a word of comfort. It's a word of peace. And we're told that he showed them his hands and his side. The marks of the cross, the great work that he had just accomplished on their behalf. We're told then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus said, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Christ had a commission from the Father to come into the world to do the work that his Father had appointed for him. And as that commission was given to Christ by the Father, so Jesus sends his disciples, he sends you and I out on a mission also to do the work that has been appointed for us. And then we're told that he breathed on them and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." What an important part of our ministry that is, and all that we do for the Lord, to know the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's a sermon in every line here. This resurrection appearance is so instructive, it is so full of application. But as I close, I want you to think about the gladness and the joy of this moment with Christ and his fearful disciples. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And as I thought of that, I asked myself the question, why? Why were the disciples glad when they saw the risen Lord? What made them glad? What filled their hearts with such joy? And then I just thought to myself, well, probably for the same reasons why joy comes to our hearts when we get a view of the risen Christ today. And so there are just three simple things as we close the meeting that I want to tell you why they were glad and why we should be glad. The first reason is he was their friend. Doesn't the Bible teach us there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? And preeminently, that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For 3.5 years, they had enjoyed the fellowship and the friendship of Christ. They walked in his company. They were blessed by his communion. They were edified by his conversations. They were guided by his counsel. They were challenged by his conduct. They were instructed by his compassion. And they were succored by his consideration and care. Oh, what a blessed friendship! There was never a friend like him. So dear, so precious, so faithful, so honest. And Jesus told them, "Ye are my friends." And every believer knows Christ is a friend. He is the greatest friend. He is that friend that sticks closer than a brother or a sister, a mother or a father, a son or a daughter, or anyone else on earth. He's that friend that loves us at all times, despite our many imperfections and our faults and our failings. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus, no, not one. And as we think of the risen Christ today, as we think of the joy that overwhelmed the hearts of these disciples, I believe that they were glad because standing before them was the greatest friend of all, their friend, the lowly Jesus. But secondly, he was their intercessor. Christ prayed for them as the great heavenly high priest. You think of John 17. I was just reading John 17 before I come over today, just to think about how he prayed for them, and in the greater application of John 17, prayed for you and I as well, all of us who are his people today. And I'm just thinking about how he prayed that they would be kept in this world, not taken out of the world, but kept in the midst of all the difficulties. He prayed that they would be sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth, he said. He prayed that they might all be one, prayed for their unity. And he prayed also that they one day would be with him. When a believer goes to be with Christ, it's the answer to the prayers of Christ, who prayed that they would be with him one day. Jesus was their intercessor. Think especially of how he prayed for Peter. It was the night before the cross. They sat at the Lord's table. They had celebrated the Lord's Supper. They had partaken of the emblems, and there's a conversation that takes place, an extensive conversation. Many things are recorded about that night. And one of them is what the Lord said to Simon. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus prayed for Peter in the midst of all that was going on in his life. A few hours later, in that morning, as he denied the Lord. And this same Jesus, the Bible tells us, ever liveth to make intercession for us. I'm so glad to know that the Lord is praying for me at the right hand of the Father. The God-man is in glory, and he's praying. He prayed for my salvation. I'm saved today. I'm thankful that other people prayed for me, but I'm saved principally because there's one at the right hand of God who prayed for me, that I would be saved. And I know that he prays for me in the midst of my circumstances. No matter what your circumstances are, as you come to the house of God today, no matter what your trials, your burdens, your difficulties, let's remember there's one in the glory. He's the risen Lord, and he's praying for you, and that ought to make you glad. And he's praying also for your well-being. I'm glad to fix my eyes on the risen Christ today, who is interceding on my behalf. He was their intercessor, and he is also our intercessor. The third thing, I believe, that brought gladness to them was the fact that he was their Redeemer. More than for any other reason, these men were glad, because before them stood the Savior who went to the cross for them, who died in their stead, who bore their sin in his body, who endured the wrath of God on their behalf, who shut hell and opened heaven by virtue of his vicarious sacrifice upon the cross. Notice carefully, he showed them his hands and his side. These were the marks of the cross. It is at this very moment that they are glad. When they saw the wounds of Calvary, and their hearts were overwhelmed with joy. And dear child of God, as we think of the risen Christ, there's nothing that gladdens our hearts more than in the fact that he's our Redeemer. And he went to the cross for our sins. And he bore our sins, as we've listened to the choir sing today, and the words that Stephen quoted from the scripture. He took our sins there at the cross of Calvary. And when we view the cross where Jesus died, I tell you, that is the greatest joy that will ever come to your heart, and that will be the greatest motive to serve the living Christ. Jesus lives. That's the message today. The choir has brought it. We are proclaiming it on this Easter Sunday. Our hearts, I trust, are filled with joy as we think of the one who is our friend, as we think of the one who is our interceder, and as we think of the one who is our Redeemer. May you go home from this meeting today rejoicing, rejoicing in Christ. May the Lord bless these thoughts to your heart and all that we've heard from the choir today. And our closing hymn is the same closing hymn as on Thursday night, and it will be the same closing hymn tonight. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. What has tomorrow in store for you? We don't know, or for me. But because Jesus is alive, because he's at the right hand of the Father, because he prays for us, praise God, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And I'm going to ask Mervyn. Is Mervyn here? He normally sits there. Mervyn, if you come and lead this song for us. I'm going to ask Pearl if she'll come, please, and sing verse 2. Scripture says, lay hands on no man suddenly. She's not a man, she's a woman, so that's okay. She's going to sing verse 2. It's her verse, isn't that right, sister? And if we had the nerve, we would get one of the newborn babies for you to hold as you sing today. Amen. And then we're going to ask Pastor Valentin. We'll ask him to close in prayer, but with an interpretation so that everyone knows what is being said.
Let's all stand while we sing this lovely hymn. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. Let's sing it with all our hearts. Let's sing it with praise on our lips. Let's sing it with joy on this resurrection day. Amen.
Господи милосердный, я славлю Тебя и величаю. Dear gracious God, I praise you and worship you.
И я славлю тебя за Сына Твоего Иисуса Христа.
I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ.
Спасибо, Отец, тебе за то, что ты отдал своего Сына, чтобы мы могли жить.
Thank you, Father, for giving your only Son so that we could live.
И сегодня, в этот день, Господи, я могу радоваться.
And on this day I can rejoice.
Тому, что, Господи, ты победил смерть и грех.
That the sin was won over and we all alive.
И, Господи, я славлю тебя, Боже, за эту победу.
And I praise you, Lord, and thank you for this victory.
И сегодня, Господи, действительно мое сердце, и я верю в то, что и церкви торжествует.
And my heart is rejoicing today, and the heart of the church is rejoicing today.
И, Господи, ты так благословил это служение, Господи.
And this service was so blessed.
И, Боже, приятно слышать, Господи, вот и пение хора.
And thank you for the choir and the singing today.
И это красивое пение, Господи.
And this gorgeous singing today.
И я, Господи, хочу поблагодарить тебя еще раз.
And Lord, please accept our praise and thankfulness.
За твою жертву, Господи.
For your sacrifice.
За твою святую кровь, Господь.
For your blood.
Спасибо тебе, Господь Иисус Христос.
Thank you, Jesus Christ.
И будь прославлен, Господи, через все то, что Божие происходит.
And we praise you through everything you're doing for us.
В этом собрании, Господи.
In this church, in this meeting.
Из уст и сердец, Господи, наших.
From we praise you through our mouths and through our hearts.
Слава тебе, наш Господь.
Praise you.
Аминь.
Amen.
And everybody said
Amen.
And shouted
Hallelujah.
I think we can do better on Resurrection Sunday. And everybody said
Amen.
And shouted
Hallelujah.